Welcome to The Apartment Guys, where we discuss all things apartment investing related, including how to find cash-flowing apartments and raise capital. Join us every week for high-level discussion and interviews that will take your investing to the next level. Now, here are your hosts, The Apartment Guys, John Prince and Tate Seamer.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Another episode of the Apartment Guys podcast coming to you from Salt Lake City today, the home base here at Greenlight Multifamily Properties in Salt Lake City. And we are really excited to have a guest on today to offer a unique perspective on what's going on in the world, the many huge impactful things that are going on in the world. And everybody's just trying to make some sense of all of this, right? And that's what we're trying to do too. And that's what we're going to try to do today. We're talking to Mr. Christopher Huffman. And Christopher is an investor here based in Salt Lake City, but invests in multifamily assets all around the country. He's a owner and founder of AIM Capital. He's a multifamily syndicator and a developer. Calls himself a serial entrepreneur. I can relate to that. He's bought and sold several successful real estate companies, generating millions of dollars worth of returns for nationwide. He's built teams around integrity, hard work, and a win-win mentality. With a focus on property analysis, his expert knowledge in the world of investments is a hard-to-find asset to anyone looking for a solid return on investment. Want to know how to make your money work for you while you sleep? Well, Christopher is your man. So Christopher, welcome. Thank you for being with me today. And it's awesome to have you.
Thank you very much, Tate. I'm super, super excited for today. Happy we finally get to do this.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming too. Hey, I just noticed we're twins today as far as our shirts go. Anybody that's
We both got the memo. It's perfect. Blue's in today.
Yeah, it's the blue shirt day. All right. Well, you know, as of today, it's March 20th as we record this. As things change by the hour, I'll also note that it's about midday here. And things are continuing to develop rapidly all the time in terms of the coronavirus, the stock market, global health crisis, individual people's health, and of course, impacts on the overall economy, job market. It's really such a massive and almost, it's such a hard thing to even get our heads around, really, the impacts that this is having in so many different parts of our lives and society. And so Christopher brings a perspective that I thought would be really valuable for you listeners to hear from, in that Christopher is a hardworking millennial, and he's somebody that I have a massive amount of respect for, and I'm literally twice his age, which feels really weird to say.
Well, you don't look twice my age. You look good.
I'm actually not. I'm a little less than twice. I'm not quite twice your age. But Christopher's in the trenches every day in the multifamily apartment investing world, syndication. He's closed on a couple of deals here recently. I believe you guys are working on something. Well, you were working on Little Rock, but I guess that kind of has not materialized as planned, right?
I think so. Little Rock was with Emma, but with AIM Capital, right. we've got a couple of really fun projects that you guys are going to hear about here in the next 30 days or so. Actually, nice. Two or three individual projects that are nice. I think they're going to be pretty fun. So we're excited.
I usually save this till the end, but I just want everybody to connect with Christopher online on Facebook, Christopher Huffman, HUFFMAN. Connect with him on Facebook. I'm sure you're on Instagram too, right, bud?
I am. I'm not nearly as prevalent there, but I'm going to start to be. Facebook and LinkedIn is the easiest places that people can find me.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I try to do Instagram. I do the other two very well, I think. So, yep. Christopher, I felt like your perspective, looking at this from somebody who is, you know, not been through a crash yet, at least
not as a an active investor. You were probably in what, finishing up high school in 08 roughly, right? Something like that.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, and I'll be honest, I was in real estate when the market crashed. I was an agent. I was in single family investing, but I was not in multifamily investing. So this is uncharted waters for a lot of us, you know, this is uncharted waters. So you just wanted to, you know, you shared some really valuable stuff on, you know, staying calm, certainly, and keeping a perspective on a healthy perspective on things as we move through this. And I was just wanting to share that, some of those thoughts with my listeners, and was hoping that you could maybe share some of that with us.
Absolutely. You know, and again, thanks for being able to have me. You know, I tend to be one that just do what you can control. Very, very simply. There is so much wish-wash and the media, like, I love the media. They've done a really good job at being able to inform people, get people updates. At the same time, you've got people at home who are scared to wake up in the morning because they don't, you know, there's so much uncertainty and honestly so much fear with what's going on. Do I have a crystal ball? No. Do I, you know all of the ins and outs and have a ton of crazy amount of experience going through multiple recessions? Absolutely not. But I'm going to go listen to and go learn from the people who have. Yeah. Being able to learn, you know, that even though this seems like extremely uncharted territories, if you go back and look at every single economic crash back in the late 80s, the early 90s, 2002, the tech bubble, 2008, now 2020, every single recession has certain indicators. There were certain industries that did really well. There were certain industries that did above average. There were certain industries that got, you know, completely destroyed.
Yeah.
The whole, you know, a recession, essentially just the economy as a whole is producing less than it normally does. Yeah. And so if people can just see it for what it's worth and look at the data, that's, you know, my sister came up to me the other day and she was, you know, we were talking about the coronavirus and how they're talking about, you know, how important it is to wash your hands and stay clean. And she looked at me and said, weren't people doing that before?
Right. Yeah. It's affected me. I got to say, like, I am definitely conscious of what my hand just touched or if I've touched my face. Like I think about it now more than I did or for
as
sure.
Do I.
It's really, there's going to be so many permanent, you know, kind of impacts out of this, and our personal habits are just one of them. But you know, I think everybody's talking about predictions and trying to get a feel on where this is headed and how the dust is going to settle, which way is up right now. It really is, like, I mean, everybody just got pummeled in the stock market. Everybody that was in the stock market got pummeled, or at least in certain sectors, but just about everybody got hurt badly. And people are, like you said, are in a state of fear. People aren't working. Tons of businesses are closed, and we're really in a place of not knowing. And I think that's really the most authentic thing I personally can offer, is like, it is as tough as it is to admit, sometimes in life, you just got to say, we just don't know. And, you know, in this case, we just don't know how this is going to wash out. There's different scenarios, even painted by the same analyst, like Neil Bawa, our mentor and colleague, has painted different scenarios based on different response levels and that sort of thing. But, you know, I think what we can talk about today, Christopher, is, you know, any thoughts that we might have on immediate, you know, meeting your, as real estate investors, we've got immediate cash flow needs. We've got long-term wealth building strategies. We're working on passive income, building passive income. We're working on building long-term legacy wealth, right? As, you know, as people in that role, and some of our listeners are people that are aspiring to that and are looking at multifamily and getting into multifamily, what are your thoughts? I mean, what do we do? Yeah. What do we do this week? What do we, you know, what do we do this, this month? What, you know, like what, just give me something here.
I can, yep. I've got a few thoughts for you. So first off, like I'll tell you what we're doing. I can't get, you know, everyone's experience may differ and everyone's situations will be different as well. But I think that when, you know, right now with coronavirus and self-quarantines and an earthquake here in Salt Lake, like everybody essentially is home. And, you know, a lot of people I know have literally been glued to the news 24/7 and they're not working. That, in my opinion, is one of the worst things we can be doing right now. It's important to stay engaged. It's important to be, to know what's going on, but get the facts and go to work.
Yeah.
Like we, you know, as an economic engine, all produce one little piece. And if we have millions and millions of people who are just glued to the media, getting more hysteria and more, you know, things, it's only going to make this, like, my opinion is that this is extremely serious. But we have the ability to make this so much worse than it needs to be. That if we can, so like with us, you know, we're looking at 3 to 4 apartment communities here in the next 60 days mm-hmm. that we're looking to take down in a few different places that we couldn't be more excited for. But, you know, we're trying to work as hard as we can so that we can be able to provide, you know, sellers with much needed capital to be able to get through difficult times if they were leveraged in the wrong areas. We're trying to be able to, you know, we're hiring, we're trying to be able to provide jobs, and we're trying to do our part in being able to help stimulate this economy. So back to what I was saying about the, you know, going back and looking at all the other markets. In 2002, the tech industry and the dot-com burst, like, you know, the Enron scandal and all that, you know, stuff, that industry got completely hit. 2008 was real estate. This recession, in a lot of ways, like the people who were seeing the most hit, hospitality, travel, you know, coaches and people who maybe fall in categories of like discretionary income,
right?
Which is not obviously the best, but look at it for, as far as real estate, I couldn't be more excited. Because, you know, somebody reached out to me today, a good friend that I hadn't heard from in a number of years, and he and his wife are looking to purchase a home. And he was talking to me about, you know, well, how does multifamily and residential, you know, where's the correlation? Are we making a wrong decision? It ends up, I think he's going to wait for the time being, but we talked about, like, in multifamily, Neil Bawa goes into this really, really well too, but we couldn't be more excited. Our rents haven't gone down a dollar. Like, I think that people who are in the multifamily industry need to prepare for a few more delinquencies, giving their tenants a little bit of slack. But the government is coming in with so much help to be able to try and help these people get through and give owners incentives to not evict people. I mean, legally, I think Trump put the halt on evictions here for the next 30 days or so. But if we can just do our part, don't freak out, you know, make sure you've got toilet paper, but don't go, you know, tackling people down the aisle at Costco right when it opens.
Right.
Just do what, I mean, we're doing what we've always done.
Right.
And we're underwriting the way that we've always underwrote, because this is something that we've been expecting and planning for.
So are you changing in your underwriting? Are you changing vacancies for next year? Or are you changing concessions, economic vacancies, loss to lease?
Lost to lease, perhaps, maybe concessions, maybe a little bit more bad debt. But as far as occupancy, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Because occupancy rates, I don't feel like they're going to fall. I feel like they might a little bit, but especially in the multifamily space, multifamily tends to be, you know, when people rent, it tends to be some of the most affordable housing on the market.
Especially in the Class C market, especially, right?
Class C value add, blue collar workers, like this is some of the most affordable housing that money can buy. We're not luxurious by any means. Our vacancy, I imagine, will be close to zero. I mean, you know, close to, I think that it will be very, very, you know, aggressive, but we can still, again, we want to be able to plan accordingly to be able to help these people, mm-hmm. not just be the greedy landlords that are trying to soak every dime, you know, and capitalize on an opportunity.
With the properties that you have coming up, are they currently, if you don't mind me asking, under contract, under letter of intent? Where are you with those? You negotiating them?
All three, actually, between negotiating, letter of intent, and under contract.
Okay. So are you talking to any of those brokers or sellers about getting any sort of extension in your due diligence or in your closing period, your closing time, in order to just kind of see how things settle out right now?
Absolutely. We've got, you know, typically how we'll structure our deals is, you know, earnest money, you know, we wait until after due diligence. There's some groups that put down a bunch of earnest money up front. We'll put down some pretty sizable earnest money amounts, but we'll make sure that we can still have the time to make sure our lender's okay, to make sure the economy still stays as stable as it can. We're going to capitalize on the low rates. You know, we're getting rates down to close to 3.5, 3.4. Mm-hmm. For some of these properties, some of them are in the fours, depends on the market. But I mean, I think I lost my train of thought here, but.
Well, no, that's okay. So we're, you know, I'm interested in the one in particular that you have under contract. Yep. And I've got a little bit of a self interest in this because we have a property under contract right now, and we are literally right now at our due diligence deadline negotiating some repairs. So we're extended that our earnest money is not yet hard, but it will be as soon as we agree to the repairs. And our limited partners are feeling a little bit iffy right now. They just got beat up in the stock market badly. We're of course telling them what a wonderful place multifamily is to put money, and that now's a great time to do that. And of course they're seeing that, but there's just sketchiness, right? And everybody's kind of going into a little bit of a holding pattern. Our investors are kind of half and half right now. So that being said, we've got another 6-7 weeks before this deal closes. If our due deal, if our earnest money goes hard today and our limited partners back out, our earnest money is G-O-N-E. So, you know, it's part of the deal, obviously, but we have asked for an extension. We're getting a lot of pushback on that. We've got a call set up for 1 o'clock today to try to work it out. We just want a couple weeks really just to see where things are and get the mm-hmm. commitments from our limited partners, get funds wired so that we have everything ready to go. So that's why I was asking about your current deals. Brokers are saying that there's lots of extensions. There's people pulling out of deals. So I was just curious where you guys were doing with those.
So something I think is interesting that most people don't think of, this actually comes directly from Think Multifamily and Mark Kenny. They were on they had a little thing last night, and they had an attorney on, and he was talking about a concept called force majeure, mm-hmm. which essentially it's a clause that is in your lender's contracts that I think people need to look at, because right. a lot of the stuff happening in the world today could be classified as force majeure. Like if people can't, you know, fulfill contracts because they can't get their products from China because nobody's working, that would fall into that contract. Right. Certain aspects of that can apply to multifamily. And so look at the contract and the clause in there to make sure that you're protected. Mm-hmm. You know, your lender and their underwriting make sure that they're protected. Mm-hmm. But are you as a borrower making sure that you're protected, you know, when acts of God and other stuff like this takes place in the world? So the one that you've got under contract, I'm curious, since you initially underwrote, is there specific things that you've changed and maybe been a little less aggressive or more conservative on?
Well, no, I mean, our underwriting hasn't changed, but when we're looking at what we feel like we can get our gross potential rents to in year one, now we're taking that with a big grain of salt. Mm-hmm. You know, our loss to lease concession level, again, looking at that probably being higher, and we're looking at, you know, year one just being a really tough year if we buy this place. If people aren't, you know, if you can't evict, people aren't paying their rent, it just, you know, makes the balance sheet, or makes not the balance sheet, but it makes the profit and loss financial statements really tough to make work. Yeah. So I'm, you know, like I said, I think we're looking at a tough year one, and that's something that we'll just, as a team, see if we can come to terms with and come to grips with. If we can, we'll do it. If we can't, we'll back out. And what, I mean, talk for a second about what you feel is coming down the pipe in terms of deals, like strictly from a, and by the way, Christopher and I spoke at length before we started recording, and for both of us, our very top concern right now is everybody's well-being, their health, their loved ones' well-being, and it just health and safety, and, you know, freedom from too much worry about all this is really our biggest concern. So when we talk about things like opportunities and in the economy and in the multifamily market, in no way are we trying to be heartless opportunists, right? We're just we're talking about the realities of our industry. So what do you see coming down the pipe in terms of deals? What opportunities do you see coming up?
So I think that, and thank you for clarifying that, because, you know, we, like, this is extremely serious, and there's a lot of families that have lost a lot, similar to 2008. Like, a lot of families got really hurt, you know, especially in, if you're in certain industries and leveraged. I mean, I played around with a little bit of stuff in the stock market, and it literally disappeared overnight. There's something called margin calls. So it happens, and it's not fun. But I think that we, you know, just as much as the media is making us look at all the negative, not necessarily the negatives, but kind of harping on some of the uncertainty, I think we need to make sure that we help people understand that there is so much good and so much opportunity in the market. There's going to be a lot of sellers out there that need us. It sounds cheesy, but like, there's a lot of people who are leveraged. There's a lot of sellers out there who are not full-time in real estate, and they're leveraged in other industries, and their income's taking a hit, and they need us to come in and free them from the liability of maybe a property that's going down the tubes. You know, I see deals, more deals. It's been a really, really tight market for properties. I see more deals coming on the market, but I don't see prices adjusting very much.
Really? Okay.
Because the Treasury, I mean, because essentially Trump's cut those rates, mm-hmm. some of the best rates in the world, that's going to compress cap rates and keep cap rates low. And cap rates are going to be what's going to keep our prices in the market high. Specifically right. for commercial.
Right.
So I feel like there's, you know, we're still gonna, what we're actually, without giving too much detail yet, you know, one of the properties we're getting under contract for, we offered on a number of months ago, and we're actually giving them more than we were going to give them a couple of months ago. So mm-hmm. we're still paying a pretty penny for the property, but our underwriting's changed just a little bit, you know, just like that year one stuff you talked about, depending on the market. And, but the seller is in a much more, they're in a much more motivated position given the circumstances that have happened over the last month or two.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see, later today where our seller is as far as all that goes.
I've got my fingers. Is this the one that we've talked about in the past once or twice?
It's our, I'll just say it's our Albuquerque deal.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you. We love the property, and it would be a really hard one to walk away from.
It's got a lot of meat on the bone and a lot of value,
yeah.
you know, with the right team that goes in there like yours. So,
yeah, thank you. Well, so we talked about vacancies. We've talked about economic vacancies. We talked about job loss, you know, actually, we've talked about changing underwriting a little bit. One of the things that the other thing that we've looked at is looking at our capital expenditure budget, mm-hmm. what are the absolute musts that we have to take care of right now? What are the absolute musts that we got to keep in the way of reserves for turnover? And how can we minimize CapEx right now for the year one or year two, you know? So that's another adjustment that we've made. But
have you been following the prices of commodities?
No, I don't follow commodities as closely as I maybe could.
So I don't, you know, necessarily follow everything, but even looking at like the price of lumber, the mm-hmm. price of lumber has dropped almost 25% in the past little while. Like there's a lot of commodities and stuff that have actually been dropping significantly in price that will essentially make our material costs right. less, and labor costs could drop a little bit too, just because people need the work.
It's interesting because you'd think, you know, you keep hearing people say, well, if things aren't getting shipped from China, then the price is going to go through the roof. And at least immediately that doesn't seem to be happening. But you know? So, you know, let's talk to our beginning investor listener for a second, Christopher. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I were both there pretty recently where we were looking at the industry from the outside, thinking about getting in. There's passive investors listening right now that are wondering what to do with money. They're considering multifamily as a place to go. There's people that want to get into being operators, being active syndicators, investors like you and I are. Let's talk to them for a second in terms of what, you know, what should they do? And I'll tell you kind of where my thoughts are on this is I think right now you follow Christopher's lead in staying as active as you possibly can, meaning keep your feet moving, just churn. And for me, that means staying in connection with your key relationships, like close connections. The first thing that happened on the day that the stock market dropped, I think it was 3,000 points in one day, sometime in the last four or five business days. First call I got was from my lender. And he's saying, you know, business as usual. We're still doing our thing. Deal's still on. And, you know, just being out in front of things and not allowing there to be any question marks around what we're up to. Are we still on? Are we freaking out? Are we running away? All that stuff. We, you know, just being in touch with your key people. And if you're brand new to the space, it's probably a really good time to learn, you know, as much as you possibly can. There's so many resources to learn from, podcasts, YouTube videos. Just to start, you could spend the rest of your life in those two spaces, audiobooks, real estate investor association meetings, meetup groups. I would say, I'll just throw this one out. It's probably been in some other episodes, but Lance Edwards' book, How to Make Big Money in Small Apartments, go download that and give it a listen. Little things like that that you can be doing that actually aren't so little. They're big things because they make you more of an expert in this area. And then in the meantime, hopefully the dust will be settling a little bit and we'll start to see some opportunities here that maybe we never would have seen if this hadn't happened. So those are my thoughts for kind of the newbie that maybe is dipping their toe in the water a little bit or thinking about it is, and the other thing that I'd offer is work for somebody, go to work for someone that's doing this and learn by doing these deals. And if you have to work for free and be, you know, essentially an apprentice, that's great. That's free education. A lot of people are going into debt for the rest of their life for the same level of education that you can get for working for free for somebody for a year or 2 years or whatever. So, yeah. So Christopher, your thoughts on a newer investor, what they should be up to right now.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, talking to the newer investor and to some of the passives, looking to, you know, some of the people potentially looking to place money into deals, this is where the Sharpe ratio really gleams and shines. Sharpe ratio, you guys can look it up online. It essentially, it correlates, it adjusts your returns based on volatility and risk. And multifamily real estate has been at the top, the number one most risk-averse asset class for almost three decades. Probably longer than that. I mean, just through recessions and stuff, like I have nothing, you know, there's so many multifamily investors, you know, who are like, hey, you know, and they're like, look at you, you know, you lost all the money in the stock market, you should have been in real estate. And I don't think that's necessarily the best mentality to have, but, you know, the stock market will recover. It absolutely will recover. You know, exactly when is a question mark, and whether we're at the bottom, whether we're halfway down, whether we're, who knows. But is all I really know is I know real estate, and I know that during economic recessions, multifamily weathers storms very, very well.
Better than just about anything.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. So, you know, there's some more risk classes that you could potentially get slightly higher returns. But I mean, the returns we're getting in multifamily are phenomenal. You know, the returns that we're getting right now are really, really good. And I don't know if I need a whole lot more with taking on any extra risk. talking to the new investor, if you're interested in multifamily, the Bible book I recommend is Joe Fairless Apartment Syndication Book.
Yep.
It's like $40 or $50. It is literally your guide. It has so many nuggets. It's back on my bookshelf. It's got.
I'm looking for my copy right now.
I know mine's around here. I was reading it, so I think it's on a bookshelf somewhere. But
it is the Bible. It is the Bible.
Joe Fairless. Amazing.
Yeah, Joe Fairless. F-A-I-R-L-E-S-S. Joe Fairless, the best ever apartment syndication book. Right.
It's big, red, and full of just pure nuggets. So that'll give you a really, really good breakdown on multifamily investing and apartment syndication and how to actually do it yourself. But again, just to the newer investor, I would really use this opportunity to hop on with somebody that knows what they're doing. Yeah. Go work for somebody for free. Go see how you can provide value during these times to people. I mean, like, even somebody like me, we have a variety of different things that we're trying to do every single day. Like, and as people reach out, like, I'd love that, and I have calls all the time with people teaching them how to underwrite and in return, whenever they have a deal, they can do some of the underwriting and then send it over and I can help them, so they're able to take some new steps, but see how you can provide value. See how you can provide value to somebody who's already doing it.
Yeah.
And to each person, their own. Like, there's some people who say it's 100. For me, multifamily is my thing. I get it. I understand it. I'm really comfortable. It really aligns with my personal strengths. There are other people who make far more money than I do in single family or commercial or whatever. But like, multifamily is my thing, and I love it. And I can go on all day for why I absolutely love it, and I'm so passionate about it.
Me too, dude. I can relate to that. That makes you an apartment guy. That's why you're on the podcast.
I love it. I would be an apartment guy any day of the week. So,
Well, listen, so we'll wrap this up. And I guess what I'll say in summary to the newbie investor is figure out what it is right now that makes your heart sing. If it's inside of real estate, what is it inside of real estate that makes your heart sing? Is it single family? Is it flipping? Is it wholesaling? Is it multifamily? Is it being an agent? Is it whatever space lights you up, being a lender, et cetera, raising capital, whatever space lights you up, which coincidentally is usually whatever it is that you're particularly good at, I would be using this time and this opportunity to figure that out. And if you're flirting with something, doing something like multifamily or something else that you really don't at the bottom of your heart want to do, now's the time to bail on it. So I would never tell anybody to bail out of multifamily investing, because I'm just like you. I love it. I know it. I'm way passionate about it. And I think that everybody should at least take a really hard look at it. But if it's not for you and it's not what makes your heart sing, go find what it is that does. And this is the time to do it, because now's the time to do what you're really good at.
Can I mention one thing really quick? I thought that thought honestly is amazing. One thing I just feel almost like impressed to say is, for the new investors out there, don't get hung up on how much of the deal you owe. Yeah. Don't get hung up on equity. So many people in their first deal are like, I want to own, like a certain percentage of it. And, I've had these discussions with others in the past. Like, I would, even in my position, knowing what I know, I would, if there are certain individuals like Neil Bawa or Joe Fairless, or we can go and take down a deal that's 5 or 10 times the size of what I've ever done, I would never want to go into that size of a deal without having a really, really good either track record or past experience. So I would much rather have a really small piece of pie working with somebody who's done it. So similar for you guys that are out there, don't be afraid and feel like you have to own more than half the deal, or, again, to each their own for the value that you bring, but don't be afraid to give up a little bit, because the experience you will learn will far, like, if it's your first deal, chances are, that you're probably under the 5 million mark for properties that you're doing. And like, under that mark, you can make really, really good money. but you've got to do quite a few of them to have really just, you know, completely hit it out of the park. You know, again, there are some deals that are just like complete home runs, but for the most part, like, especially if you're syndicating deals under that amount, there's not, whether you own this much, you know, 50%, or whether you own 30 or 10, the difference isn't that dramatic, but the value that you're going to be able to receive is exponentially going to make you more money on your next bigger deal than on your first small one.
Right. It's all about resume, track record, experience. Can you talk the language? You know, can you say, hey, I've put 100-unit deal together, 150-unit deal together, I've been part of it, or I helped fund it, or whatever. Those things are the big rock. Like, you're taking big steps, significant steps in your career when you do those things. And there's obviously a need for, you know, immediate financial sustainability and immediate cash flow and those sorts of things to take care of. But as much as you can put into those big resume builders right now, you know, I'm like Christopher, we've got needs on our team. I've got tech needs. I've got, like, you know, admin type needs, you know, some things that maybe are a little more mundane, but man, I'm an educator. I love to help people. I love to bring people along for the ride and be a tour guide. And so people that are working with me at any level are going to learn as much as they want to learn about everything that we're doing. And so whether it's one of us or, you know, somebody that's really been a heavy hitter for a long time, if you can get in with one of them, like, you know, swing for the fences is my advice. Right. So, well, Christopher, there's, you know, I feel like we could have just done an intro episode to like the next 3 episodes that we could talk about, but this has been great, needless to say. And I, like I said, I feel like we're kind of just scratching the surface on a lot of this stuff, but one of the things that we'll be doing with the podcast here is continuing to talk to people like Christopher who have a good, well-informed set of thoughts and opinions and ideas on where we're going from here and how to best do it. I am thrilled to announce that Mr. Neil Bawa himself will be on the podcast on Tuesday. I'm hoping to have that published Tuesday evening, as it's going to be very timely. We're recording on Tuesday afternoon, and I may even try to run a Facebook Live with that, which I've
Neil is amazing. I will be listening to that. Yeah. He is an absolute wealth of knowledge.
Yeah. Follow the Apartment Guys, obviously, but also follow me on Facebook right now, because I'm posting a lot of stuff, a lot of content about what we're talking about. And my name again is Tate Siemer, TateSiemer. And I would love to hear from you guys. Log on to iTunes, drop us a 5-star review or some comments. We'd love to hear feedback of any kind. We're putting our heart and soul into this and want to bring as much value to you guys as we can every week, or these days we're doing hopefully more than that, but we're committed to at least once a week touching base with you. And during this intense time, it'll likely be more. So with that, we wish you all health and wealth, and let's just lean on each other and get through this together. Christopher, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tate. And honestly, like, you are incredible. And just getting to watch, you know, we've known each other now for a little while, and just watching all the incredible stuff you're doing. Super excited for your deal that you've got. I really hope that all keeps working out. Tate's a man of his word, and Tate knows what he's talking about. So listen to him.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Sure. All right. Well, thank you all. Have a beautiful day, and we'll talk to you on the next one.
You've been listening to The Apartment Guys. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Google Play to get new weekly episodes and to drop us a review. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook or visit our website at apartmentguyspodcast.com. Until next time, take massive action steps and rock on.